Moncrief on News Talk.
The French pole vaulter Anthony Ammirati has had a less than happy time at the Olympics. When he failed on his final jump, he managed to knock the bar with his groin, prompting all the expected jokes, memes and even an offer from a porn site. But it perhaps also says something about our cultural obsession with having a big one. It's not perhaps all it's cracked up to be. Matt Barr is gifted and afflicted in this way and has a book on his experiences coming out in the new year called A Long Story. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
When you were a young guy, Matt, and you were in school in the changing rooms and that kind of stuff, it's kind of normal. Somebody might get teased for having a penis that's too small. Did you have the opposite experience?
Yeah, constantly. I mean, it was, you know, the source of all the nicknames or the sort of, it feels weird, obviously, calling it bullying, but it's in the cold light of day, you know, some of the stuff was even like sexual harassment. But back when I was growing up, you didn't even think of men as being, you know, harassed. Mm. So it's definitely a kind of a cultural thing that's just gone through, you go through when you're in that situation.
Yeah. And at that point, did you have an awareness of just how large your penis was, how unusually large it was?
It was clearly bigger than everyone else's, but in terms of the scale of it, compared to the, you know, I measured it at home afterwards, and then this was before the internet, so I had to like a book, a Joy of Sex kind of book, just to sort of teach you the basics, and I measured it and thought, okay, it's not too much bigger, but then I saw that they were measuring I confused the erect size and the soft size, so it was still kind of very much on the, you know, 0.001% even then.
Yeah. So you and like, what age would you have been at that stage?
I think we're in 14, 13, yeah. 14.
Okay.
I remember it specifically.
All right. So you were still growing in every part of your body.
Definitely. Puberty is obviously the biggest biggest contributor, but it does vary quite a lot. I mean, it's still kind of in some ways growing now just because of health changes and things like that.
So when you reach adulthood then, did you initially think, whoa, I've got a huge one, or did you very soon start to kind of see it as something of an affliction?
I mean, obviously there's some benefits. It can't be silly to ignore like some of the obvious positive attention that you do get from it, but it's often kind of comes at times you don't necessarily want it either. It's not something you can just kind of hide or put away. You know, once it's out there, it's kind of out there so everyone knows, which is why I kind of done the book, because like, people know already. So I might just be more open about it and try and get more awareness about it and be more comfortable with it. Because obviously it's very, it's an awkward topic. Like you say, it's a topic of all these kind of memes and jokes, but there's more to it than just that. I mean, like the pole vaulter, for example, it was his knees that clicked the thing more than the groin. And then obviously the groin's the one that gets all the attention.
Yeah. That's always the case, though, isn't it? So in terms of your like day to day life, are there clothes? I mean, is it uncomfortable? Are there clothes you can wear and can't wear?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's kind of the biggest sort of day to day problem. I mean, people obviously think about it because they've seen porn and they think about it from a sexual connotation. But most of the time, obviously, just walking around, and obviously it's the same as, you know, women with large breasts in terms of it. Kind of weighs you. Obviously, it doesn't have the back issues that does have, but it's friction and just like trying to not see obscene in normal clothes. That's definitely a problem.
Yeah, and when you say normal clothes, what could you give us an example of what you can't wear?
I mean, well, the thing is, you can wear a lot of stuff, but you have to wear it like several sizes higher, if that makes sense, because you've got to just find stuff that suits for it. Like, you know, I can wear jeans, but I couldn't just like pick a pair off the rack. I'd have to go specifically several sizes too large and try and find one that's particularly roomy and then, you know, pack accordingly. So I've got like some clothes I'm comfortable with. But yeah, a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of clothes just off the limit.
Yeah. Is it... I'm going to put this delicately on daytime radio. Is it easier to hurt it in that, you know, you could kind of injure it inadvertently?
I could answer that without being too explicit. But yeah, it can do. Obviously, there's more of it to do. But, you know, it's like most things. You're used to carrying it around. But obviously, there is that, the friction aspect, like I mentioned, that is a problem.
Yeah. When you... So were there a set of events where you decided to go public about this? And what led up to that?
It's a good question. I mean, obviously, you know, it's people who've known me, some of them have known my whole life. And once the news is out there, it kind of spreads. But in terms of being like public, I was, there was a documentary about it in 2022 I was on. which is sort of was, you know, it was billed as being to try and help people sort of my condition. So I was like, okay, it seems like it's not going to be pure titillation. And then perhaps the final result was not necessarily what I wanted. But obviously one of the things out there, and I just decided to be more open about it. And then kind of, again, there's a lot of, you know, myths, like you say, and memes and all this stuff. So it's more about trying to be the face behind that.
Yeah. But prior to appearing on that documentary, what led you to agree to appear on that documentary?
Because it was designed, you know, it was pitched to me as being, you know, trying to offer advice to people who may have difficulty with their size, even if not to my extent. But, you know, there's a big issue with sex education where it's often kind of ignored as a topic, the impact that incompatibility can have. And again, culturally, you know, all the expectations. Mm-hmm. I was definitely concerned that if someone like me wasn't on the show, it could easily, you know, like one of the other participants was a porn star. And then he kind of did it, perpetuating a lot of those myths that, you know, do come up very frequently with this topic. So it was kind of, you know, partly again, also the point, you know, why I'm old enough that it's like, you know, I don't care especially more about my public perception. It's not like, you know, when you're younger, when you do care about being different, mm-hmm. it's like, now this is just who I am, you know, let's roll with it, I suppose. And I think society has also got to that point where it's a bit more comfortable with this kind of discussion, with, you know, OnlyFans and all these things coming out. Whereas, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we were a bit more reserved as a culture. So there's kind of a hope there's a bit more room for a kind of a more serious discussion about it.
Yeah. So, and I assume it does have an effect on your sex life.
I mean, obviously, it's kind of, you know, positive and negative. It's opened some doors and closed others.
Yeah. But in the sense that when you say close some doors, could you, you know, do you have to be, you know, have you been in situations where you've had to be careful that you might inflict injury on someone?
I mean, you always have to be careful that it's not like a occasional thing. That's every time. That's just because it can do. Obviously, that's just the scale of things. So you have to be very careful.
Yeah. And I assume you have investigated, are there methods of size reduction?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of why I wanted to go on the show I was on originally as well, because they were originally said, oh, we might offer to pay for it. And they didn't in the end, because it's like 15, 20K, which, you know, this cost of living crisis time, it's hard to find, you know, that much money for something like this, when it is, again, most cases of reduction surgery are only done in the case of, say, tumours or cases where, you know, there's irreparable damage. Like when you're functional in every other way other than the size, and there's not many cases of any of that really being performed.
Oh, really? So if you were to have it, it would be the first time?
Well, there's people who, again, it's different issues. Like there's a few cases of it happening. Sometimes it's people who've done it because they've been kind of normal size and they've sort of almost like fetish-wise wanted it to be reduced. There's others who have had it, like, you know, extreme swelling to the point where it's, you know, causing problems. But that it's not a normal, if that makes sense. It's not a functional, typical thing other than the size. So for me, the issue is obviously when you do that, it's quite a severe surgery. It's lots of slicing and dicing, shall we say.
Yeah,
without being too graphic for the
Well, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's bound to involve that. But has the procedure been done enough, especially for men in your position, where it's just about reduction, that, you know, you're sure it's 100% safe, and, you know, you won't be experiencing pain or discomfort afterwards?
No, I mean, there's no guarantee even what the final result can be in terms of size or functionality. It's very much realistically, it's about even including the people who are having it done for, you know, tumors or whatever, it's like 5 to 10 people a year perhaps. And again, that's not because of size reasons, it's because of functioning reasons.
So I'm getting from that you're at the moment, I'll stay as I am, because that sounds a bit dodgy, perhaps.
Technology does improve, and it is like more of a safe science, shall we say, than, you know, I'd be quite keen to do it. But given the cost and the risk, it's sort of not the priority at the moment.
Yeah. Matt, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Matt Barr there. As I say, he has a book called A Long Story, Life with the World's Biggest Penis, coming out in 2025.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.